Hey, welcome to the Sportscast, September 9th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. The Oregon Ducks killed Nevada Wolfpack 6-77. And to join us to talk about Duck football, Ty Turner, welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. So, obviously, not a good first week. It was a close game, but the second week, you guys are coming back to normal with a huge win. I mean, this is a high score. What's your thought about the game?
While we lost the game to Auburn the week before, I think you could walk away from that game realizing, Oregon probably should have won the game. They could have won the game. And you're playing against an Auburn team that is currently rated number 8. So even though we lost, you kind of knew from that game that Oregon's a pretty good team. So that's why they didn't drop super far in the polls. They dropped to number 16. And that's why there's still a lot of hope around Oregon. And, and they came out playing a Nevada team from the Mountain West, a team that was bowl eligible last year, a team that beat Purdue last week on a last-second field goal. So this wasn't like an FCS school. This wasn't like a doormat in the Division I school. This was a team that, had hopes to compete in the Mountain West, and we just smashed them. 77-6, I think, was the biggest margin of victory of any school so far, over one school or another this year. I'm not sure. I know I've seen some 66-10s, and I think Wisconsin won the other day 66-0, but I haven't seen any 70-plus victories other than Oregon. So it was a masterful performance on offense. It was a masterful performance on defense. They forced turnovers, harassed the quarterback. They didn't have any run game. We threw 7 touchdown passes. Ran for three more. Yeah, defensive touchdown. Yeah, there's not much bad to say about the game, but a victory by Oregon.
Yeah, Justin Herbert had a great performance. He threw for 310 yards, 5 touchdowns. Even backup quarterback Tyler Shuck. Threw for 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. What'd you think about his performance?
I'll go into that. Talk a little bit more about Herbert. The first series of the game, he came out and he had a couple of horrible passes. Overthrew a wide open Breland, overthrew a wide open receiver. Then they punted. We quickly held them 3 and out. They punted back. He threw a couple more, crappy throws. I'm on message boards. I'm on, 3 different Duck message boards. People are like, Herbert looks terrible. He's overrated. Because, he didn't have a great second half against Auburn. He really didn't. If you go back and look at the Auburn game in the second half, he gave up some sacks. He was tentative. He didn't make throws down the field. He didn't even give his wide receiver an opportunity. He didn't make the throw. So he didn't have a great second half. They ended up losing that game. He comes out in the first 2 series, overthrowing looks terrible. Oh, man. And then they end up getting a field goal on a botched punt. They're ahead 3-0. We're like, man, is Herbert overrated? He's been inconsistent the last year or change, second half of last season, starting off this season. I was really starting to think, this guy, why did he come back? Why is he coming back to not look better? He could have gone to the NFL and made millions. Say he's coming back and showing that he's still inconsistent. All of a sudden, I don't know if he – I joked. I said he went and smoked some weed and then chilled his nerves down. I don't know if he did that. I was just kidding. Or he just, all of a sudden his coach said, you know what, settle down and just be you. Just be who you can be. Next series, throws a 66-yard touchdown to tight end Jake Breland. They get the ball back after a 3-and-out. He goes, no, actually it wasn't a 3-and-out. They went and got a field goal, so 7-6. They get the ball back. He hits Breland down the seam for a 30-yard pass, hits Brian Addison for a 40-yard pass, score another touchdown. They force a fumble. He quickly throws a 17-yard touchdown to Ryan Day, three and out. They get back, a long pass down the field. He then throws another pass for 24-yard touchdown to Brian Addison. In a matter of like 10 minutes, he had thrown for 200-plus yards and four touchdowns. Goes off in the second half, makes a couple long passes, then he throws a 17-yard touchdown pass to Daywood Davis. They take him out of the game. So after people start freaking out, saying he's overrated, in a matter of 15 minutes, he threw for 300-plus yards and five touchdowns. And had one of the best days for quarterback of anyone nationally. So that is Justin Herbert. That is Justin Herbert. It can frustrate you about him. How can he go from being so anemic in the second half against Auburn, the first two series against Nevada, he's literally just like chucking the ball over guys' heads. And then, in a matter of five series, he throws five touchdowns and 300-plus yards. And he takes his team from being ahead, from being down 3-0, to being ahead 42-6. It's crazy. But it's Justin Herbert. He frustrates you. But when he turns it on, he can throw. He can throw five touchdowns. He can do what he did against Stanford last year and go in regulation 26 for 27 for 300-plus yards. He can. I mean, he's done it.
He can do anything.
Freshman, he threw for like six touchdowns in the first half, I think, against Arizona State or something like that. I mean, when he is on, there's not a better quarterback in college football. But he can be off, and he can be inconsistent. And hopefully that's something he continues to work on, because, unfortunately, that's lost some games. Unfortunately, in his career, that has lost some games when he has not played well. He's good enough to beat anyone, but he's also inconsistent enough to lose games that we should win. Hopefully he just irons that out. You see more of that five touchdown in two quarter Justin Herbert instead of those than what you saw the last half against Auburn and the first two series against Nevada.
Tight end for the Ducks. Jacob Breeland caught four passes for a career high 112 yards and a score. A total of 11 Ducks scored. True freshman Brandon Tolton kicked a pair of first-half field goals for Nevada. The Wolfpack were coming off a 34-31 victory over Purdue last week, just their second win over a Big Ten program. But then they come back this week, and they lose big time against Oregon. Oregon has had some great openers, home openers. They won 15 straight and 24 straight over non-conference foes at Autzen Stadium. Oregon tied a school record with seven touchdown passes caught by seven receivers. The Ducks also tied their record for points at Autzen. So their next game is Montana. So we'll predict that during our game predictions towards the end of the show. Anything else before we move on from Oregon?
Just to add some different things that I liked about Oregon. I really like their defense. I like their defense against Auburn. For three quarters, we held them to two field goals. We had picked off Bo Nix a couple times. We just ended up getting too tired in the end of the third to the fourth, and we ended up giving up the points down the stretch and eventually losing the game. But as a whole, for three quarters, that defense played pretty damn good. And they played really good the other night, giving up no touchdowns, only two field goals, and one of those field goals was a botched punt that gave Nevada the ball in the red zone. So basically, they only drove the ball down one time to score any points. They forced four turnovers. They forced six turnovers in 2 weeks. I don't know how many sacks we have total, but we had like five or six sacks the other night. And, you know, when coming into this year, you'd say, what do you have in Oregon? Okay, you have the front seven. It was a little young, but they had some really talented guys. Well, those really talented guys, I mean, so if you'd say the three most talented front seven players is five-star number two player in the nation in Kayvon Thibodeau, and then top 100 guys from the 2017-2019 cycle in Mesa Funa and DJ Johnson. Well, those three guys in the Nevada game combined had – let me get this straight. 11 tackles, They had 3 sacks, and they had 7 tackles for loss and a forced fumble. Those 3 guys I just mentioned. DJ Johnson, Mesa Funa, and Kayvon Thibodeau. If those guys were super talented, I mean, some of the best young talented front seven outside pass rush guys in college football, if they can play to their talent level to go along with a secondary that's just super experienced, you got 2-year starters in Thomas Graham and Diamador Lenore, you got freshman All-American and really just an all-purpose superstar in Javon Holland. If you can get those front seven guys, and then you got, of course, Troy Dye, who's a 4-year starter, all Pac-12 guy. If you can get the young guys with a guy like Dye along with that experienced, good secondary, you really have a heck of a defense for Oregon. And you know, when you think of Oregon, you think of offense. You think of the fast tempo, the flash, but never were really known for their defense. Even during the great Chip Kelly run, they had kind of the bend but don't break defense. But they never had a real top-end defense. This Oregon team, I think, has more talent on defense than any of the teams during the Chip Kelly era. And I think this Oregon team, especially if it gets those young guys to play to their abilities, I think they could be one of the best defenses in Pac-12. And because you kind of know on offense, I mean, we're going to have – you saw what we did the other night. You could see even in the first half against Auburn, you have one of the best quarterbacks in college football. As long as he's consistent, you have one of the best offensive lines in college football, especially from a pass blocking. I think they're the best pass blocking offensive line in college football. I don't necessarily think they're the best run blocking, but as pass blocking, it's very difficult to really get any pressure on Herbert. And a receiver group that, you know, has been just killed by injuries. You got starters Juwan Johnson and Brendan Schooler out. You had heralded true freshman Micah Pittman out. You had a couple other freshmen in Lance Woolhunt and J.R. Waters who are out injured. I mean, you have all these injuries, but the first 2 weeks of the season, you see that even the guys that they're playing, like Brian Addison, a former top 100 guy, Josh Delgado, a guy, IMG Academy 4-star, and then you got the experienced guys like Johnny Johnson III, Jalen Redden, like Daywood Davis. That once you get that receiving core healthy, that's going to be one of the better receiving cores in the Pac-12 to go along with one of the best quarterbacks and one of the best offensive lines. I think you know that you're going to have a pretty good offense. I think the offense is going to be good. It's something that you kind of know. If that defense can play like they have the first 3 quarters against Auburn and the whole game against Nevada, you got a good defense. And that's why, as a dark horse playoff, you still got to look at Oregon. If Oregon can run the table, the only loss of the resume was a last-second loss to Auburn, and that was a game that they led most of the way and a game that they had so many injuries at such a key position like wide receiver, I think Oregon could still get in that playoff. So we'll see. But I like what we have defensively, and that's what makes me most excited about this Oregon team.
There is still hope for Oregon. Moving along, Michigan defeated Army in double overtime, 24-21. How surprised were you about this game?
I didn't watch a ton of it, but obviously it was a pretty close game. What I saw and what I've heard, I actually heard Army should have won. I heard they had a really bad turnover in the – Man, I have this. I'm like driving, so I have. I need to turn this off. I'm driving, so I have these directions going on in my head while I'm talking. It's super distracting. Anyways, what was I saying? Okay, Michigan. What I heard and what I saw a little bit was it sounded like the offense just wasn't very good for Michigan. I mean, so Arbery runs a triple option, so that's pretty difficult to defend. And it's tricky. It's something unusual. They do it very good. They're very, they execute it very well. They're very disciplined. Obviously, being a military prep school, it's not surprising. I think it was more the surprise is the offense for Michigan. And I heard they didn't look great the week one. I heard right now it's just they have a little bit of identity problem, meaning they brought in Josh Gattis to kind of open up the offense. But then I guess it's almost as if the philosophy is kind of a double-edged sword, meaning they're having trouble running basic short yardage plays. I think they also have some injuries at like running back, and so so they haven't gotten a lot out of the running back position. Shea Patterson has been pretty inconsistent throughout his whole career at Ole Miss and Michigan. Still sounds like he's a little bit inconsistent. It sounds like they still have some offensive issues. I don't know. I know people are jumping off that bandwagon pretty quick, but it's early. They're still undefeated. They're still in the race. We'll see. But from what I saw, a little bit I saw, and what I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten, and I wouldn't predict them to. I didn't predict them in the first place to win it. So, and I think they lose. I don't think they beat Penn State. I don't think they beat Ohio State. And who knows? They might lose to Notre Dame or to another one. They could lose to Wisconsin. For goodness sake, Wisconsin looks pretty good. I mean, this could be a 9-3 Michigan team, which would be considered at this point here. So, that's why I got about Michigan.
LSU defeating Texas. Are you convinced LSU is a good team? They're actually ranked number 4 right now.
What do you mean I'm convinced they're a good team?
I mean, obviously.
Of course they're a good team. Of course they're a good team.
I mean,
the silly question is that.
We did go back and forth because this game was kind of tight between Texas and LSU.
But that's not the question you asked. You said, are you convinced you're a good team? They've been a good team for a long time.
I wasn't convinced yet.
LSU not a good team?
I guess.
That they're a good team. What is your definition of a good team? Do you have your own?
I mean, top 4, top 10. College club.
They were in the top 10. They were in top 10 last year. What are you talking about? They had a Sugar Bowl victory.
Okay. So what did you talk about LSU's performance?
No, that's a fair question. You asked if they're a good team. I mean, that's such a silly question. But anyway, moving on. I mean, if you have a team that's in the top 10, you're good. Like, what's good? Clemson? So that's the parameter? Clemson and Alabama? I mean, there's other good teams. Yeah. Were they as good as Clemson and Alabama? No. But to say, ask if they're a good team, that's ridiculous. Anyway, moving on. Forgiveness is what I do. No, I'm just playing. LSU's good. Yes, they are a good team. They always were a good team. Do I think that they could challenge for the SEC? I still don't know. I don't know. Texas doesn't have a great defense. I saw, I didn't see a ton of that game. I was watching Oregon. I saw a little bit. But Texas doesn't have a great defense. They're definitely not. They have some secondary guys that are pretty good, but they're pretty inexperienced in that front seven. And they didn't get a lot of pressure on Burrow. They're not a great defensive team. So that's why people are just like, going crazy. Joe Burrow completed 80% of his passes, 400-plus yards. I don't know, was it 4 or 5 touchdowns? And everyone's just like, oh, my goodness, he's the next coming. And the offense does look better. They do look better. They're opening it up. They do have talent as wide receivers. I mean, Terrence Marshall. I was always wondering when guys like Terrence Marshall, Darian Chase is one. They had another 5-star guy that they signed. They'd signed over the last couple cycles, like a couple 5-stars and like a couple top 100 guys at wide receiver. And you always think, why do those guys go to LSU? Because LSU you just go there and you don't produce because LSU is such a blah offense. Well, they brought in Joe Brady from the Saints. And that offense is not blah anymore. And those talented wide receivers who are really talented, guys that are going to go in the first couple rounds of the draft, they're being utilized now. And so LSU has a better offense. And then their defense, which didn't look great, despite having, you got Grant Delpit, you have Christian Fulton, you have Darryl Stingley, he was the number 3 prospect in the nation last year. Jacob Phillips, rusher like Chasen. You still got all that NFL talent. But Texas does have a pretty good offense. Tom Herman is a good offensive mind. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator for the Ohio State team that beat Alabama. They're going to score some points. Texas will score a lot of points this year. I think I had Texas winning the Big 12. I don't know now. They just don't really have a good defense.
Oklahoma is a safe pick.
What did you say?
Oklahoma is a safe pick.
Well, yeah, but Oklahoma doesn't have a great defense either.
Who does in the Big 12?
I'm kind of on – I personally, at least from what I think right now, I don't think – I think the Big 12 is going to be left out of the playoff this year. I think the Big 12 gets left out of the playoffs.
Not even Oklahoma. If they win out, you don't think they can?
Well, of course, if they win out, I don't think they're going to win out. That's my prediction. No, I don't think they win out. I think they lose two. I think they lose two games. I think them and Texas split. I think one wins Red River, and the other one comes back and wins the Big 12 title. But then I think they're the one who – what I'm predicting, I think Oklahoma gets knocked off by, like, TCU. I'm thinking of a team that plays a little better defense. I think they actually knock off TCU knocks them off. And then I think Oklahoma and Texas play each other in the Red River. I think Oklahoma wins it. So that'll be two losses for Texas. And then I think Texas comes back and knocks off Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. So you're going to have a two-loss Big 12 champion. And I don't think that – I think that'll leave them out of the playoffs. That's just my early prediction in the first couple weeks of the season. We'll see what happens. But I think that's – I think they get left out. And the Pac-12 could get left off. They really need either Utah to run the table or for Oregon to finish 12-1, winning the Big 12, maybe getting the edge over someone. But those are two conferences on jeopardy. The ACC should. I mean, if they didn't have Clemson, that conference is horrible.
Pretty much.
You saw what happened to Syracuse. Syracuse came in ranked, and they got boat raced by Maryland.
I know.
And that was the number two team in the ACC. You have Virginia, who now snuck into the top 25, but I still don't buy it. I think Virginia's going to lose 3-4 games. You have Florida State. They're awful. They lost to Boise State. They blew the game. They then have to go to overtime against Louisiana Monroe. You had Miami, who lost their second game. Yeah, North Carolina's won two games, but you know what? They're going to lose a couple. Virginia Tech's already lost a game. The ACC is awful.
Top.
And, you know, I always hear, oh, my Pac-12 is horrible. I would take the Pac-12 over the Big 12 or the ACC.
Oof. At least ACC. I don't know about Big 12, but for sure ACC.
How can you not? Okay, you don't take the Pac-12 over the Big 12? Okay. Fine. Other than Texas and Oklahoma, name me a really good Big 12 school.
Can't name one. That's
yeah,
right.
You can't, right?
ACC
none,
just Clemson.
None other.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but right now, so the Pac-12 has USC in the top 25. They have Washington in the top 25. They have Washington State in the top 25. They have Oregon in the top 25. They have Utah in the top 25. They have Cal right outside of the top 25. They have Arizona State right outside of the top 25. Do you think the Big 12 is better than them?
Wow. You're convincing me slowly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying the problem with the Pac-12 is they're big teams that carry the conference. USC, UCLA, and probably Oregon, they haven't been good the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's pushed the narrative that the Pac-12 isn't good. Well, guess what? Oregon's good this year. Guess what? USC's playing pretty good. Guess what? Washington State are pretty good teams. Guess what? You got a pretty good darn team there at Utah. I think the Pac-12 is better.
Even Colorado's on the rise.
Even Colorado. I'm telling you. The Pac-12 is pretty good conference. They're not as good as Big Ten because there's no one as good as Ohio State. Michigan and Penn State are still probably better than most of the Pac-12. Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa would give a lot of Pac-12 teams. So the Big Ten is a darn good conference. Honestly, I actually still say the SEC is the best conference at the top.
Wow.
You can't compete with number two. You got number two Alabama. You got number three Georgia. You got number four LSU. You got number eight Auburn. You got number nine Florida. You have five teams in the top ten. Their top end is great, but their bottom end, Vandy sucks. Ole Miss stinks. Missouri stinks. So their bottom is not very good. Big Ten, man, look at who they have right now. They have Ohio State in the top 25. They have Penn State in the top 25. They have Michigan in the top 25. They have Michigan State in the top 25. They have Wisconsin in the top 25. They have Iowa in the top 25. They have Maryland in the top 25. Nebraska lost, but they're still a good team. Northwestern lost the opening week, but they're still a solid team. Purdue lost opening week. They came back and boat raced Vandy. So I still really like the Big Ten from top to bottom, even better than the SEC. They're just not as good on top. It's hard to compete against Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, and Florida. You know what I'm saying? But I still like the top to bottom. I would take the six Big Ten school over the six SEC school. I'd take the seven Big Ten school over the seven SEC school. So, like, top to bottom, I'd say Big Ten. Top end, SEC. And then I'd probably put Pac-12 just because I think they have a lot of really good, solid teams. Big 12, ACC, you take Clemson, Texas, and Oklahoma out of that conference, you have one other team from those two conferences that are in the top 25, and that's Virginia at number 25.
There you have it.
Those aren't good conferences. They have three good teams.
Here we go. AP top 25. LSU moves up to number 4. Oklahoma slips to 5. Oregon moves up to 15. Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia stay. Well, Clemson and Alabama stay in top 2. I think Georgia moved up to number 3. What are your thoughts about this AP top 25?
Yeah, I mean, early in the season, still a lot of movement going on. Like I said, it's very top heavy with the SEC. 5 teams in the top 10. The Big Ten, I don't know how many teams I mentioned. 7. Big Ten has like 7 teams in the top, and yet Pac-12 is doing well with 5. And yeah, so there you go.
Maryland moved to number 21.
Yeah, that's a big. I'm telling you, the Big Ten this year is no joke.
It is no joke. I'm seeing Michigan number 10, still staying steady. Wisconsin's at 14. Texas A&M at 16. UCF in the teens as well, still UCF. Notre Dame number 7. Ohio State number 6. Quite interesting. Auburn number 8. Obviously, this weekend, we'll see. There's to be not too much movement because there's not many big games going on this weekend. But we'll see what happens. Rafael Nadal. What was that?
Hey, but the next weekend, there's 4 top 25 games.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So next week is really good. Yep.
Rafael Nadal wins the U.S. Open, defeated Medvedev 6-4. What'd you think?
Yeah, bittersweet for me. You know that Novak's my guy, ride and die with him. Rafael Nadal continues to be that guy who just, you know, he's always there. It was a great match. It went 5 sets. It was up and down. He was ahead 2-0. Looked like Medvedev had all of the momentum. Won 2 sets. Was up in the 5th set. Then Nadal came back, took it. He won his 19th major. I do think Rafael Nadal. I think he will eventually overtake Roger Federer for most majors. He's the king of clay. He's won, I'm going off my memory, but I believe he's won 12 French Opens. I think he wins 2 more French Opens. Does he win more beyond that? I don't know. I still think his play style, really, in the end, he gets injured because of it. He also got break. Federer got upset, and Novak had to withdraw because of injury. That was a big break. It was a big break. So, not taking anything away, Rafael Nadal is one of the greatest players of all time, and I do think he ends up taking over the most majors. I think he wins 2 more French. I think he finishes with 21. I saw Federer play. I do not think Roger Federer wins another major.
Wow.
I think 38 years, he's finally looking his age.
He's peaking.
His big opportunity was winning the Wimbledon, and he lost it. Novak. So I don't. I do. Now, Novak, he's still in a good place. Yeah. This before, over the last decade, he's had this run of dominance. But when he's had an injury, sometimes he'll go on a year or two hiatus without winning a major. Well, he's 32 now. He can't do that again. Like, let's say, you know, he has this shoulder problem now. His shoulder's hurting him. If that doesn't heal up, and he doesn't win any majors next year or any majors the year before, I think 34, 35 is a little old to start picking up a bunch of majors. It just hasn't been proven for the most part. I mean, Roger Federer has won several since he's older. But as long as he can get back, rest up, get back to health, he's the greatest player ever at the Australian Open with 7 Australian Open. I think he could take the Australian and then maybe like take the Wimbledon next year, possibly take the U.S. Open, and then clip off a couple every like year for the next 3 years, and he could eventually usurp both Nadal and Federer. But if he goes into a slump because he's physically and mentally not there because of the injury, he might not get it. Because I think Nadal might get it. I just see him winning about 2 more French, and I think that 21 majors will be the most all time.
There you have it. Nadal wins the U.S. Open. A great U.S. Open, obviously. Not all the stars were healthy. NFL began this weekend. The big game of the week that Tyler noticed was Cardinals tying up Detroit Lions 27-27 in overtime. What are your thoughts about Kyler Murray's debut?
They didn't look very good at first, but they came back and almost won the game. So, yeah, it was an impressive comeback. They didn't look terrible at first, but then, yeah, hey, they hung in there and they almost won it.
308 yards, pretty good for a complete game. Of course, the Patriots beat the Steelers 33-3. Antonio Brown is joining the Patriots after a messy weekend. What's your thoughts about that move?
I mean, good for him.
You know, I heard he hired a social media consultant.
I know.
And
he was able. He was smart, but yeah, he was smart. He played people to get with the best team in the NFL. That's smart.
Now the Patriots will have him, Gordon, Edelman, and this other guy, but it's going to be a quite impressive Patriot team. They looked pretty unstoppable yesterday. Of course, the Packers lost against the Bears 10-3. It was a very defensive game.
No, they didn't lose.
No, I mean win. They won. They beat the Bears 10-3.
Don't you dare say that. Yeah, let's go into this game a little bit. Yeah, we didn't talk about the Packers prior, and let's talk about it. I was extremely impressed with the defense. Do I think Mitch Trubisky had a good game? No, he didn't. But do I think a lot of that was due to good defense? Yeah, I like Mike Pettine's defense. I was impressed with the guys they brought in free agency. Aquarius Smith, I can't say their first names, but the Smith guys off the edge, Adrian Amos, who actually was a Chicago Bear, playing at safety. He looked tremendous. I loved how first-round draft pick Darnell Savage looked. He looked really good. We didn't get to see the other first-round pick, Rashawn Gary. He didn't play really in the game. I like their defensive backfield. You got the old experienced guy, Tremont Williams, but I really like Jair Alexander and Kevin King, the two young guys. I mean, they're two good corners, really manned up. Didn't give the Bears really anything, and they got pressure from the front seven guys. I think Blake Martinez is one of the most underrated middle linebackers in the NFL, and love the defensive performance. Trubisky didn't play well, but I think a lot of that had to do with Packers. Now, on offense, wasn't the best day. Rodgers was a little off. It wasn't like he didn't have any open guys, and the Bears have a good defense. I mean, they have definitely one of the best front seven, and they have Khalil Mack, who's one of the best edge guys in the game, and Floyd and Raekwon Smith. I mean, they're good. But just wasn't a great day by Rodgers, but he made the plays when you need to. Drove the field, made a touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham. Had a couple nice passes to Davante Adams. He's always the most consistent pass catcher. I don't love the wide receiver core for Oregon. I don't love the wide receiver core for Green Bay, but I think they'll get better. The rushing attack, I hope it's a little bit better. I don't love the weapons right now at Green Bay. They've spent a lot of time drafting defense, and it really shows. Like, they spent the last couple drafts, most of their top picks have been on defense, and it shows. It shows in Kevin King, Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, Darnell Savage. You see it. You see the product of the high-end play on the defensive side of the ball. But you're also seeing they haven't drafted a lot of offense. They also haven't signed a lot of great guys in free agency. And the offense is struggling a little. And I think they're going to have to rely more on defense than any time in the Aaron Rodgers era. But Aaron will get better. he'll be more consistent than he was. He won't be so errant on his passes, and he'll get in rhythm, and he'll make the most out of the weapons he has.
Tyler Turner, are you still there?
I think as long as
you dropped your call.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You dropped the call?
No, you dropped a little bit for like 1-2 seconds, but not too bad. Right now, you're good.
Okay. What'd you hear?
No, you were finishing about Green Bay, about Aaron Rodgers not dropping too much balls.
Not Aaron Rodgers dropping balls. I hope he's not dropping balls. He's a quarterback. No, but I think they'll get better. I think you want to say Oregon? Jeez. I think Green Bay will get better on offense. I think they have a good defense. I think they will be ready to compete in the North. And I wouldn't be shocked to see them in the playoffs competing up there this year at all.
Of course, the NFL season began this past weekend. Another notable big game was the Ravens defeating the Dolphins 59-10. The Titans beat the Browns 43-13. The Browns have not had a good home opener since 1999. Quite a shocker. You would have thought the Browns would have won it or kept it closer, but quite interesting what's going to happen with that team. It could be a coaching situation, but anyways, anything else before we head into game predictions?
Oh, no, we're good, man. I think we got it all covered. We don't have anything else.
Let's go with predictions. Washington State versus Houston.
That's actually kind of an under-the-radar good game. You know, because actually when you break down the talent on the roster, when you see most Power 5 rosters, you know, it's significant their advantage over non-Power 5 schools. But Houston actually has a slightly more talented roster on paper than Washington State. But Mike Leach is one of the best coaches in college football, and he definitely is an X's and O's genius. He knows how to get the most out of his talent. Where is the game at?
Houston.
You know, that's tricky, though. That's a game he could lose.
You want Houston to win.
That's not... not really. Because if Washington State loses the game, they're still undefeated in the Pac-12. So it doesn't necessarily help Oregon that much. Actually, it would help them more to win, because then it's a big victory if they beat like an undefeated Washington State team. I don't know. It's kind of tricky because he doesn't play in that conference, so he probably doesn't have quite as good a beat. Washington State, but that's a tricky game. I could see Washington State losing that game.
Pittsburgh versus Penn State.
I think Penn State's too talented. I think Penn State wins that one.
USC versus BYU.
You know, BYU has not looked too bad. They gave Utah a decent game, and they obviously went to Rocky Top and upset the Vols. I don't think they have the talent. I think USC's kind of got it rocking and rolling on offense. I like how that Slovis kid looked. And they have three tough games coming up. After they play BYU, they play Utah, who's in the top 10. They play Notre Dame, who's in the top 10. And then they play at Washington, who's obviously a tough school. So they have to win this, and I think they do. I'm going to go USC.
USC wins. Stanford versus UCF.
Man, Stanford did not look good the other night against USC. They have really injuries and lack of talent they've brought in. They're not as good as they used to be. UCF will have trouble with Stanford up front because they don't quite recruit the guys. But Stanford just does not look great. I'm going to go with UCF. I think UCF beats Stanford.
UCF beats Stanford. They're ranked number 17. Iowa versus Iowa State.
Good game. This actually was – they dropped Iowa State out for whatever reason, the top 25. But if Iowa State would have been able to sneak in, they're the number 26 at the top of receiving votes, this would have been the one top 25 matchup. This is also where College Game Day is going to be. I think it's a good game. It's a rivalry game. I like Iowa a little bit right now. I think they've looked pretty good. I think they have a really good defense. They look solid the first 2 weeks. I think they're a team that's going to win 9-10 games this year. I go Iowa.
Florida versus Kentucky.
Kentucky coming off the injury to the starting quarterback, losing Terry Wilson for the season. I think that's against a good team like Florida. Florida really has legitimate defense. I'm going to go Florida. Now, Florida has some injuries. They lost Tony, their big playmaker wide receiver, and C.J. Henderson, their top defensive back, is also day-to-day with an injury. So they have some injuries going on. They also have depth problems, too, because of that. But I think Florida wins.
FSU versus Virginia.
Florida State looks horrible. I'm going to go Virginia. Florida State on paper is more talented, but, man, they look. Yeah, I'm going to go Virginia.
Montana versus Oregon.
I think Montana pulls off the upset. I really do. I think they go into Oregon. I think they shock it. Why, you don't believe me? No, it's good.
Of course not.
No, you know, Montana's 2-0. They've always had a good FCS program. I just don't think they have the athletes. Oregon does seem, for the most part, pretty dialed in this year. Like I said earlier, I really like this team. I think they boat race them. I think it's like a 56-14 victory.
Oof. NFL tonight, Monday Night Football, Texans at the Saints.
Oh, good game. I'm going to go Saints.
Saints wins. And then, of course, tonight is a doubleheader. Broncos at the Raiders.
Man, I don't know enough about those two teams, but what I know about them last year, that neither one was very good.
And one of them lost Antonio Brown. So
Antonio Brown, and they're not very good. Where's it at?
It's in Oakland.
Okay, I'll give Oakland it because they're playing in Oakland. I don't think either one's that good. I'll go Oakland, but I don't think either one of those teams are going to challenge in the West. I think the Chargers and Chiefs are way head and shoulders above those two. So,
random question: who this past weekend? Which freshman player had a good weekend at the NFL this weekend?
Let's just say that again. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, which rookie had a good weekend in his first weekend of the NFL this past weekend?
Tyler Hockenson. T.J. Hockenson. He had 100-plus yards and, like, 7 catches for the Lions. He looked terrific. I really liked him coming out of Iowa, and he had a terrific game. I'm sure there's other guys. Who else did you know that had a good game?
He
really stood out because I was watching the Cardinals. And Kyler Murray had a solid game.
Nick Bosa had a sack yesterday.
So Bosa had a good game.
That's pretty much it. And then there was one running back. I forgot what team it was. I think it was Hockenson. He's not a running back. Sorry. Some other running back in the NFL, but I can't remember his name. But I know he had a good first. I think it was Hollywood. His nickname is Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood. He's good. Lamar Jackson had a good game.
A very good game. So
Lamar Jackson had a very good game.
But, you know, they're going up against a Miami Dolphin team that's wanting to tank for Tua.
Well, yeah, you keep on saying tanking for Tua. Why wouldn't they draft Herbert?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Herbert has a better season. Anyways, that's another debate we can talk about.
No, but it's a fair question. Why do you think Tua?
I don't know. I mean, Tua, because he's won a championship. He has more buzz. People know. Yeah,
more buzz from what? Social media?
Social media from like the TV networks.
Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Okay. What are you hearing from the scouts? What are the scouts?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not hearing anything from the scouts. I'm just hearing from the radio personalities.
They don't count. Tua plays for Alabama. I mean, he has what, 6 guys that are going to go in the first 2 rounds at wide receiver and running back.
The debate continues.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I know.
Like the first 2 weeks,
it's debatable.
Did Tua put up? Tua put up some terrific numbers against New Mexico School of the Blind and the Duke University School of the Mentally Not Proficient. So, I mean, like, let's see how he does against let's see how he does against LSU.
Yeah.
Let's see how he does against Clemson if they make it to the bowl. Let's see how he does against Georgia. You know, they're going to probably play Georgia. Let's see how he does. If he's inconsistent, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm critical of Herbert. You know, he can be inconsistent. I mean, he disappeared in that second half and they ended up losing to Auburn. You know, even the first 2 series, he came out like almost killing birds that were sitting there like nesting outside of the football field. He was so overthrowing them so much. I don't know who he was throwing at, but at the end of the day, it's going to be fun to watch. I think they both have their own thing that you could knock against them. But I'm just kind of asking why Tua over Herbert? Because right now, I don't know, for the first 2 weeks, I don't think Tua has done anything that you can say, wow, he's for sure number one, because he's played two horrible teams. And then Herbert, you know, he bounced back pretty good in the second game.
Yeah.
I mean, five touchdowns.
Great performance.
In a quarter and a half. It's pretty, pretty nice. So, yeah, well, and Nevada's probably – Nevada is probably the equivalent to the Duke victory. So I guess compare
to
New Mexico
numbers.
State is horrible. No, New Mexico State's horrible. I'm
yeah,
you.
I don't know who's catching these games, but
maybe the worst FBS school. I don't know if they've had a winning record in like two decades.
They're worse than Citadel.
No, they're like New Mexico State would not win the FCS title. They wouldn't beat North Dakota State. No, they'd probably be a middle of the road FCS school, let alone FBS.
Alabama might as well play Liberty University.
No, Liberty beat New Mexico State last year. So yeah, Liberty's better than New Mexico State.
Sounds good. Well, Tyler, how can people reach you, talk to you about Herbert's performance against against Nevada?
At
TurnerCast, and reach us at thesportscast.net and on Twitter, thesportscast1. Ty Turner, I'll see you next time.